Once again, we are going to get a local update on the COVID-19 virus, its effects on our tri-state area, and also the effects, which we've been talking about, on Sharon Hospital and what Sharon Hospital and New Vance Health, by the way, is doing, because New Vance Health also has just for hospitals on both sides of the border and also down to the south of us in Connecticut. And we welcome in once again Dr. Mark Herko. Mark, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure. Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, I know you're glad to be here, but none of us are glad about what has been going on and what's been transpiring. But with that being said, Sharon Hospital really has become a focal point, along with New Vance Health, in a frontline defense on COVID-19, dating all the way back to when New Vance has set up early testing centers and things like that. But now, close to home, we can talk more about what's going on at your facility in general. And first of all, I guess the first thing I want to talk about is the National Guard. I've been saying to people is projected to come into town today. If people see the trucks, it's nothing bad, nothing horrible. What they're going to do is set up, I do believe, a field hospital that potentially will be used. Let's talk a little bit about that. What's going to happen at the Sharon Hospital?
Sure. Well, we over the last few weeks, the system, we pretty much have incident command centers that we communicate among ourselves, and we've been kind of working together, moving patients around. Pretty much fitting the need for each patient to the hospital with the best facilities, best specialists, etc. And we're now in the phase where, this county itself, if you look at the maps and if you look at some of the data, we're either number three or number four in regards to the incident number of people with COVID-19. So with that, the state contacted us and said, "Hey, we have field hospitals, and we know that pretty much everybody has been stressed, but nobody has been completely overwhelmed. And would it be feasible, or would you consider your facility and location as a center for one of these field hospitals?" And that's what it will do, is be a clearinghouse, and it'd be shared among our system, other health systems. It's pretty much something that we as a community and through our system itself can decide what to do with it. So right now it's not, this is more of a precautionary thing, and it's something that I'm glad that the state has recognized that this area is important enough to be considered for, some of the supplies and aspects of care that the state government has available, and the State Department of Health. So we really appreciate their efforts in this endeavor.
You know, it really emphasizes the importance of Sharon Hospital as a small little community hospital as it is. And it's when I was around it, Mark, it was basically a very tiny hospital. Now it's not a tiny hospital, but it is a small community hospital. But this now signifies, I think, to everybody how important having Sharon Hospital in our region is, because this is going to be available not only for people around here. Now it's a chance for Sharon Hospital to participate in a wide ranging plan. Hospitals are filling up, and just like extended living facilities, nursing homes are filling up, and it's a precaution. So when these places do fill up, and people need places to go, and I've been preaching to people in our region, hey, have some humanity, because you know what? If our hospital was filled up and there wasn't an overflow place to go, we'd all be in big trouble. So I think that this is a great putting together of state and local resources to really ensure that if the need arises, everybody will have the availability to get into a hospital, whether it's COVID-19 related or another emergency.
Well, and that's the thing, in that, just seeing what's happened in New York, New York State, they've done a wonderful job of responding, but it shows that it's really important to stay ahead of this. So when we saw this happening, even in February, we started having incident command meetings just in case. And sure enough, when it started, we got together and everybody started initiating specific plans about what if. And we're at the point now where if you look at how the state has organized itself, I mean, you have field hospitals in Danbury. They're building and renovating a facility within Norwalk Hospital itself. They're looking at possibly putting one over, I think, over on the other aspect, eastern part of the state. But I know the large health systems, Yale Healthcare, Hartford Healthcare, UVance, they've pretty much led the way in regards to working with the other hospitals that are independent within the state and help decompress them if they actually had a need. And that really has shown the cooperativity here. And we're really thankful for the state leadership in that.
You know, it's interesting. Last time I spoke to you, we mentioned about how you had COVID-19 patients at the hospital. I had some people contact me, and they were surprised on that. But there's no reason to be surprised, because the numbers, especially in Litchfield County and adjoining counties to us, in Dutchess and in Fairfield counties, have been extremely high.
No, they have been. And what it is, that's like, I wish I could give you an exact number, but we've been deferring to the Department of Health because, yep, you know, we may get somebody who shows up in our emergency room door, but they may be coming from Dutchess, or they, yep, may be coming from Fairfield County, or they may, you know, or Hamden, or even from Massachusetts. So we leave it to them to look at where the origin of the patients are. But definitely, this is a worldwide pandemic, and we may be a few weeks behind New York, but we're seeing our version of a spike and peak. So, I'm really appreciative of the staff and of the community's outreach. The people in the community have been wonderful with really supporting the staff, and really the staff is thankful and appreciative, and that's why we had the Sharon Pride Day the other day when we all wore our T-shirts. I have mine on today, actually.
So let's talk a little bit about something that's been a big topic for nursing homes, but also obviously for Sharon Hospital, and that is personal protective equipment. We're all now hearing the PPE. It's like, how is Sharon Hospital holding up with that?
We're doing wonderfully. I can safely say that as of today, we have never shortchanged our staff, our patients, or anybody with personal protection equipment. We have really worked very hard with our supply chain leadership within the system, and we move supplies around to make sure everybody has adequate protection. And we've been really working at procuring a lot of equipment wherever we can get it to make sure we stay ahead of the curve. And it shows we do have a little bit of a cushion still. But again, the austerity measures and the rationing that we started just a few weeks ago really is paying off in droves now. So it's really working well.
All right. And how's the facility holding up? We want to talk about the update there. I mean, the staff, the facility, everybody, whether from the doctors to the people that help keep the facility clean. How's everything holding up under this obviously long-term strain?
Well, of course, everybody is stressed and strained a little, but everybody has stepped up. I mean, the people that, you know, normally, like surgery, you know, we have cut back probably 95% of our volume in surgery. So we have some of the staff there. We've been actually retooling and retraining some of the staff to actually help on the various units, or to help in the tent when we screen people coming into the facility. And just everyone has actually stepped up to do that little extra. And it shows. I mean, our volumes have picked up, and it really is a strain when you come in and you see, sick people. But everyone has done wonderfully with really knowing that you know the patient is number one, and we're here to help them out.
All right. Now, when people come to the hospital with the setting up of this field hospital today, they'll see that the main entrance is closed. You can't use the main entrance, but you also have the back entrance, and you also have a sign for people to pull in on the emergency lane to get access to the hospital, right?
Yes. We early on, I felt it was really important that we limit access, because we're a small facility, and if we had uncontrolled access, and if one contaminated, person or with the infection came in that was unknown, it could spread like wildfire to the point where we would actually not be a functioning facility. So we really were a little draconian there in making sure that we had adequate control of access. And it really has paid off now because everyone used to coming into the where the ER benches is. That's where we have our access tent. And then that gave us the ability now to have the front of the hospital available where we have electrical hookups, which were put in 30, 40 years ago. Who would have known we'd be that prescient? That now, will be available to have a temporary field hospital right here connected to the front of the facility. So it actually fits perfectly.
And once again, Mark, let's just explain to people that when they see this facility being erected today, this is what I think is a brilliant, bright idea in advance to have something in place in this neck of the world where people overflow and so everybody has the availability in an emergency, not only COVID-19 people, but also anybody that has a true emergency, there will be hospital beds available.
Oh, sure. We still have beds. And you know, the one thing I wanted to point out is for the first month of this crisis, you know, we have been appreciative of our sister hospitals who actually have the large ICUs, who have the staff, who have the physician and the equipment to handle volumes of people that are on ventilators. And we had a lot of people come through here that actually were sick. We recognized that. We stabilized them. We sometimes put them on the ventilators, and then we transferred them to these other facilities. And now as we go to this next aspect of the pandemic, these people are coming off the machine, but you know, it's not like someone with a regular illness where they get better quickly and go to a rehab. Some of these people need to be hospitalized 2-3 weeks. So we're starting, the hospitals within the system and within the state are filling up with people that are on the recovery path. And that's where we now can return that favor because we have the facility to handle volumes of those types of patients. And that's one of the aspects that the state felt really made us fit like a shoe and a shoehorn us in to having the field hospital because we have the ability to care for that level of patient care and lots of them. So, I'm glad that we can help out in whatever effort to work cooperatively with the other members in the state.
Well, Mark, you weren't around here when we had the potential of almost many, 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 many years ago of losing Sharon Hospital. And there were many people that pointed out how valuable and important an asset this was, not only to the Sharon community, but the tri-state community. And bingo, right now in this crisis, we see how extremely important Sharon Hospital is, not only to our local community, but to, as you just put, the hospital chains in general around the whole tri-state region, all working together to make sure everybody has a safe place to go to be diagnosed and later on to recuperate from the disease. So it points out how important a role all you folks have at Sharon Hospital with us.
Well, it is. And what we recognize is we're part of a larger health system, and this is our health community. And our community is evolving, and our facility needs to evolve and adjust to the economies and the pressures of what the reality is today with healthcare. And after this crisis kind of abates, you know, we're going to have to look long and hard as what is the reality of medicine. I mean, who would have thought that 1 month ago that 95% of people coming to doctor's offices would actually revert to telehealth, which is what we did in 1 month. Our health system flipped everything over, so now you're doing almost 3,000 visits on telehealth now, remote care. So that is really that's revolutionary, and I don't think that's going to go back. So it's really just something just to see how quick things can change, and the pressures of a crisis can actually push you into a direction that maybe you thought it was coming, but now for sure you know you're on the right track, and we're definitely on the right track here.
All right, well, Mark, I hope sooner or later, and it's sooner, that you folks in the healthcare industry will get to get a break so you guys can all take some time off and relax a little bit. And I know I speak for myself and for everybody else who is listening that we appreciate the work, everybody at the hospital, all the ambulance crews paid and volunteer, everybody who is putting themselves at risk to enable us to be healthier. So once again, thank you for the great work, and we'll keep getting updates from you, and we do appreciate these updates.
Oh, I really appreciate it. And really, I want to put a shout out to all our employees, to all our staff, to the community at large, our elected officials. I mean, everybody has stepped up, and our board members, our board leadership, everyone has done a wonderful job with helping make sure that we don't lose that focus, that, you know, the patient is number one, and we're really appreciative of that. And we appreciate this forum that you allow us to have to really make sure that we get the right message out. So thank you very much.
All right, Doctor. Be safe. Help your family safe, and keep up the good work.
We will, and happy Easter, too.
Happy Easter to you, too, as well. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That is Dr. Mark Herko from Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health.